Con Comics, the special beer episode.
Welcome to Drunk on Comics. As our normal listeners know, we usually sit around and talk about comic books and give Tony a lot of crap for being stupid. But today we have a lovely episode for you where we're going to emphasize on the drunk part and talk about beer. Because they go hand in hand with comic books. There's an artistry to them, and we want to appreciate it with you. So with us today, we have yours truly, Matt and Tony.
Hello.
And we also have...
Hey, Matt, give me 1 second here. I'm going to...
Okay.
Just some hot water.
Sound effects. Nick just poured a shit ton of hot water in a thing. I think Nick is actually making some beer
as we sit here
in our recording studio.
It looks like he had things measured and he's pouring in a lot of.
I don't have anything to stir with.
You can use that golf club.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. We got a golf club here. let me wipe it off real quick, my shirt, and all right.
All right, I guess Nick is making beer with my golf club as a thank you.
It's a mash paddle now. What size club is this? Some kind of big...
Some kind of driving range. Driving.
All right, well, listeners, this is Nick. He is our brewmaster at the...
Nick is a professional brewer at the Hideout. He is also a homebrew expert at O'Connor's Beer Supply Store. And he also is serving as the president of the co-op brewery known as High Five. High Five!
High Five!
All right, besides that, Nick is making something right now. What are you doing, Nick?
So I brought some rice and some six-row American barley with me. And I mashed in with it because I was at work today and I was like, you know what? I haven't made sake. And so I'm making a play on sake. It's just those two ingredients. And then I'm going to do a little bit of hopping with it. But it's mostly going to be a beer that tastes like sake.
Nice.
Hopefully.
Nick is, as we mentioned, our resident and expert brewmaster. His shit is good. And it gets you drunk.
Very, very quickly.
But, yeah, one of my favorite beers that he made for us is a Braggart, which is an old beer recipe that uses mead yeast and honey to give it that extra kick.
Yeah, and that it's a Braggart, Matt.
It's a Braggart.
But we did name it Braggart the Braggart because...
I didn't know the difference.
Because there was some discrepancy going on and we decided to just roll with it. It's got about 12 pounds of honey in it and it comes in at about 16% alcohol by volume.
But unlike such strong drinks that you usually get, you really can't taste the alcohol in this. And so you have two of them, and all of a sudden you realize you're drunk.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I can do two shots just fine. Two of these, and I'm like, I'm going to stay in tonight. So, listeners, as we normally talk about comic books and a little bit of beer, like I said, we're going to mainly be talking about beer today.
And maybe a little bit of comic books.
So spoiler alert, there's not going to be many comic books talked about.
No, the only thing that's going to spoil here is the natural fermenting process.
That was lame.
They always are.
All right, but we are going to try to stick to our same format and talk about beers in you know, various forms. So we're going to start off right now with Off the Beer Rack. And we are going to kind of talk about, you know, a normal just beer that we're going to just cheap beer, and then we're going to talk about a microbrew. So, Matt, why don't you kick it off?
Well, my first cheap beer that I want to talk about is Stroh's. Stroh's is for bros. Brewed out of Detroit, Michigan. I think it's got a nice sweetness up front, but with a really smooth finish. Like a lot of cheap beers, you don't want to drink it once it gets too warm. But you can get a 30-pack of it in the stores for about the same price as like a 24-pack of Bud. So it's a good deal, a good bargain.
Yeah, Stroh's ain't bad. I mean, I don't know. I kind of, when it comes to cheap beer, though, I used to never be a beer drinker. And after college, when I got poor,
Until you grew some hair on your back, and then...
Yes, and then I realized, well, beer's actually cheaper than the liquor I always bought. But I would have to say the one that I go for is the award-winning Pabst Blue Ribbon.
It's got a blue ribbon. Right?
I know.
That was their award.
Back from 18...
So, I wish that I had a bottle of just Pabst. Like, this is
the blue ribbon?
Yes, this is the original recipe. I know it is.
So that's the thing, like, I always laugh every time I get one because they're still riding that fucking award, like...
Yeah, but P-Beer is, P-Beer, PBR, is, I like their policies. I know several artists who have gotten small, like, scholarships and grants, like $2,000 to put on a theater production or do a camp. And I know I've played against a rugby team who was sponsored by PBR. So I know that as long as they've been riding that blue ribbon wave, they've also been giving back to the community. So that's why I still like to drink them as cheap. Also, because most bars that we go to will give it to you for like a buck or something. So
oh, yeah. It's the go-to 30-pack for cheap, and you're gonna end up drinking all of them. And about a case of this would equal 2 Braggarts, so...
Yeah. The company, Tony, do you know, is it still independently owned?
Yes, I believe, yeah, because I know Stroh's was bought by Pabst Blue Ribbon, or Pabst Brewing Company, and I do want to say that, nope, actually, looking at some of my notes, it's contract brewed for 6 different breweries around the U.S., and it's owned by Miller Brewing Company.
Oh, another one of the MBC. They've got it under control. All of those big breweries own other big breweries. Well, since you stole mine, because PBR is my go-to junk beer, if I'm going to call a beer junk.
See, the funny thing is, though, you're a beer snob. You look down on cheap beer.
I try not to be. I try to be a beer advocate.
Okay.
I think that advocacy is far more important than... snobbery.
And you don't really want to call a beer bad because life's too short to drink bad beer.
Right. Well, and there is some out there. So you do want to call a beer bad. You want to call some beers really
bad.
But
you don't want to drink it.
The PBRs and Budweiser and all those beers are really technically perfect. They are low in alcohol, low in flavor, but they also never have offensive flavors. They never have off flavors. You're never going to open one and think, man, this thing smells like rotten corn or, you know, dirty sink water or my brother's socks or anything like that. You're never going to find that scenario with the big companies.
Okay.
So I went with the biggest craft beer that I drink a shit ton of, which is Sierra Nevada's Pale Ale. And they're a sustainable company. They are... based out west, and their new facility is massive. And if you look at it from Google Maps, it's just this hilarious farm country where they're growing hops and barley and all this stuff. Right in the middle of it is a plant the size of, I'm trying to think of like a large airport. And it's covered in solar panels.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
So it just,
and it's right next to the product where they get the hops from locally there, probably.
They're growing a lot of their own stuff, but Sierra Nevada is one of the big craft breweries. So we're talking much larger than Founders, much larger than Great Divide or Stone. Dogfish Head, even. I'm not sure how big Dogfish Head is by area, but Sierra Nevada is massive. And they use a lot of really unique products. They use only whole cone hops, which is weird. And they also are, like I said, a sustainable business. So they are massive, but they're recapturing their CO2, which happens naturally during fermentation. Mm-hmm. They have a device that recaptures that and cleans it, and they use that to force carbonate things.
Okay. Cool.
And they reuse all their wastewater, and they pump all of their... biomass, or whatever you want to call the junk that's left over in the mash tun when you're done, that all gets churned off and it all gets turned into compostable, you know, it's basically burnable material, and they use that to power stuff as well. So really cool company, but ultimately you can get a 12 pack for $12, a buck a beer. For me, that's pretty cheap.
That is pretty cheap, especially for a good Would you call that a microbrew? I mean,
no. I would call it a, I would call them a craft brewery.
Okay, yeah, craft.
But they're definitely well above the microbrew level.
Level, yeah.
Macrobrew.
Well, one of the, speaking of microbrew levels, though, a beer that I picked up this week, because it is by far my favorite, Perrin IPA. It's got a 7.3% alcohol by volume. The shit is just good. Whenever I go to a bar, and if they have Perrin on tap, that's my now favorite go-to beer. Or their brewery, I should say. All their beers, and I hate stouts. I don't like dark beers.
It's because you have no tastes.
That is true. But I've learned that Perrin just makes some of the best beer that I've ever tasted, besides Nick, our brewmaster. He can he can make anything, but...
Ooh, that's flattering. That's flattering, but...
He just wants free beer.
I'm nowhere near the level of their head brewer, Nate. He is... He's got a head on his shoulders, man. And he started brewing for... I can name three breweries right off the top of my head that he helped get off the ground. Or was an integral part of. Including the almighty Founders Brewing Company, which many people respect. He moved from there into lots of consulting work, he helped open the Bob's Brew House, which is a small brew pub here in Grand Rapids. He helped open the Hopcat Brewery, which some people might know internationally from its success as...
Is it like number two?
It's up there.
Or number one,
I'm not sure
number two.
If it's... Yeah, but it's in the top 10 at least beer bars in the world. Just sheer tap selection alone got them rung in there. You could basically walk in and have your server slap you in the face if you had that beer selection. You're going to be happy about it.
Yeah. Well, Matt, you picked up another beer this week, didn't you?
Yeah. One microbrewery that I like is out of Longmont, Colorado, called Left Hand Brewery. They're pretty well known for their Warrior IPA, Sawtooth IPA, and 400-pound Monkey. But fun names. But the one I liked is a milk stout because I do like dark beers, particularly in the wintertime. I think they're awesome. And the milk stout is creamy, sweet, the way using that that lactose sugar in the brewing process, which how they get the milk stout mm-hmm. name. But it's just, if you like stouts, I suggest picking one up. My wife likes it as well, and... she's usually not a big fan of dark beers, so if I can find something that she likes, she's more likely to say yes for me picking it up. So go out and look for that.
Not the only thing she says yes to.
Right, because
she's my wife.
They did it. They at least
once.
We know that.
All right. Let's go into the next segment, the Homebrew Highway.
No.
Yes.
I didn't get to talk about my other beer here.
Oh, you have another beer?
I have another beer. And
oh, that's what that is.
It is... It's very exciting. It is from a company called Great Lakes.
Okay.
Brewing Company. They're based in Columbus, Ohio. Oh, nobody shoot me if I said the wrong C named Ohio City.
Well, Columbus is on the Great Lakes, so I'm going to guess yes.
Yeah.
But if it's
no,
like...
I'm pretty sure.
No, Columbus is not on the... Cleveland's on the...
It's Cleveland. It's got to be then.
Because Columbus is in the middle of the state.
Oh, my God.
And Cincinnati's in the bottom of the state.
It's not
it's still,
Cincinnati.
All right.
Nobody makes
it. It's in the armpit of America known as Ohio.
But their beer is amazing. And so Great Lakes makes a series of really awesome beers. And they made one called Blackout Stout. It's one of the richest, thickest, darkest stouts I've ever had. And my friend randomly showed up at my house the other night and said, here's a 4-pack of beers that you've never had. And he was actually right. I hadn't had any of them. There were 2 IPAs and 2 stouts. And one was this blackout stout, but it was the barrel-aged version. I'm blessed with fortune in this. It has almost 100% rating on Beer Advocate. It's one of the best beers I've ever had. And Tony's going to hate it because he doesn't like black beers.
I'll
but
try it, though.
It's
beer is free beer is free beer.
Man,
it's the only beer I like more than good beer is free beer.
So it basically tastes like, I don't know. man. It tastes like it's got a heavy bourbon taste right up front. It's rich. It's very smooth. Right now, I've been drinking this for a while, so it's a little undercarbonated at this point. But it came out of the bottle heavily carbonated, so I like to let my my stouts warm up.
I can tell
that's
strong.
It does have a nice bourbon.
Yeah.
The local beer dude here in Grand Rapids, Ben Darcy, would say that this it's just full bodied. It's good at it's good at room temperature. It's good at body temperature.
See, that's my favorite thing about
it's really good
stouts and dark beers. I like to let them warm up over conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever feel like I have to drink them really fast. Whereas a lot of lagers, I feel once they get warm, they're no good for me. So.
Well, when they start opening up is the phrase that wine drinkers and beer drinkers use to describe, you know, what's going on with it. Basically, there's aromatics present at every different level of temperature. But when it gets nice and warm, it releases just more complex notes. Which is why a lot of beer drinkers that drink stouts all the time like to get theirs served at 55, 60. Not a traditional, like... your refrigerator of 40 degrees.
Yeah.
So that's a thing.
Okay.
So now let's move on, Tony. How's that fun?
That sounds good. Now I'm just going to skip your segment and go to Matt's long neck.
Thanks. Best beer I've ever had, and Tony's skipping me for it.
It's the best beer you've ever had? I'm going to jump in here with the best beer I ever had, because I was over in Europe when I had it. And while all my friends were only drinking Strongbow, because
it's good,
but I mean, I had one Strongbow and then I had a lot of other ones. But I had this little beer in the town of York, in England, and it was called the Centurion's Ghost. And it was a dark stout of some kind. This was before I became more of a connoisseur of beer, but it was had dark, roasted, nutty flavor to it. A hint of coffee, and I still just dream of the Centurion's Ghost in the town of
York. It haunts
It haunts me. It haunts me. And I was in, like, a little medieval town with, like, a wall and a castle and stuff, and it was pretty cool.
That's all America, right. I feel like, is drifting in the direction of Europe in that way. We had Prohibition strike, and before that, Grand Rapids, Michigan here, which is where we're at, had... 6 breweries. They're all kind of on the main drag. And you look at pictures of the town, and it's like logs floating down the river, companies making furniture, and companies making beer. That was like the 2 industries in Grand Rapids. And along came Prohibition and just wiped out an entire industry. It was so big here that AB InBev, which at the time was just Anheuser-Busch, was opening a factory. And Prohibition hit right when they got the building finished. And so the building still stands. Now it's the site of the Grand Rapids Community Foundation. It's got all the Anheuser-Busch, like, eagles whatever they are on it. And it's this beautiful red brick building, but it's just kind of hilarious to me that they built this factory and then were not allowed to make beer in it, and so they just abandoned the building.
Well, this is what I love about you, Nick. You have so much knowledge on the subject of beer. More than us. That's why we like you making it. And we'll drink
And we drinking it.
So let's talk about some homebrewing, though. Let's go down the homebrew highway.
Wait, are we going to skip my section and go to his section?
Yes.
Man, we are really drunk tonight.
This one's all over the place. I'm not all even right. drunk yet. I'm jacked up on caffeine. You guys are lucky that I'm not, like, shouting things and screaming and punching babies.
You only punch babies when you've had whiskey.
Well,
so.
Matt didn't bring his baby over, so it's hard to punch baby when there's no baby to punch.
This is true.
I would have proved
your okay. Well, I'll let you guys decide. Are you ready to do your segment, Nick? Are you ready to do yours, Matt?
I don't know. I'm still enjoying this beer.
I'm gonna go with my long neck. Okay, my long neck that I wanted to pick is New Holland's Blue Sunday Sour, because I'm a really big fan of wild yeast. I love the Belgian tradition of, like, hey, this is gonna be good. But we're not exactly sure how it's going to be good. We just know that with these techniques, we're going to get something good out of it. So New Holland Brewery has made this heritage blend from their library of barrel sour beers. And it's got a malt. There's a high level of malt and oak in it with a nice tart finish. And I just... I got turned on to sour beers. Actually, I think it was at your bachelor party. It was the first time I had sour beers, and I was like, that's really good. I like how it's got that sour finish, and it was unlike anything I'd ever had before. So I started looking for them, and then when I found New Holland's in my local beer supply shop, it's really good. So if you like sour beers, it's a nice priced one. Get a big 22-ounce bottle and enjoy it.
A long neck.
Yes, it's a very long, long neck bottle.
Yeah, which is funny that you would, you know, talk about a sour beer right now, because if we transition into the homebrew highway, as Tony would like us to call this section, I currently have in my homebrew fermentation chamber a sour beer that is black. And it has been aging for a year. And that one has lactobacillus, which is the tart wild... I'm going to get called out on this. It's a bacteria. So you use bacteria and yeast in conjunction with each other in all these sour beers. And the one sitting next to it has 5 pounds of strawberries and a couple of pounds of sugar in it, and that one's also black, but it's being fermented by a yeast called Brettanomyces, or Brettanomyces, or emphasis on whichever syllable you would so choose.
Brettanomyces.
The Brettanomyces.
Midichlorians.
Yes, it's being fermented
by the force.
By the force. And that's how people used to think beer was made. And so magic and voodoo have lost their place in my mind. But I am making it with all these strawberries in it. So you might really enjoy that one.
With the being a dark, are you hoping that the roasted malt will give it a kind of chocolatey finish? So you get a strawberry and chocolate, or?
Well, okay, so no. It's a short answer.
All right.
There's no like chocolatey intention behind it. It's more of a subtle burntness. But at this point, I've used so much candy sugar and all these other secondary ingredients in it that it's basically just going to taste like caramel and strawberries and horse blankets, which is what bread tastes like. It's got a very... There's a few different strains, but the one that's most predominant definitely smells like a farmyard or something very weird and interesting. And it's a style that's making a comeback in the United States right now, because Brett kind of disappeared because it was seen as such a nasty infection that, you know, the big companies, they made it their life's work to destroy it. And so Budweiser and the only companies that survived through that prohibition area, they just set this precedent of kill the bacteria, kill the other yeast. We only want this one yeast strain to ferment out. And then, so I officially have rice, I don't know, wine right now is what's sitting next to us.
How long would that take?
Is that going to be done by the end of the podcast?
No.
Oh, man.
Unfortunately. I'm going to drain it off and cool it down and dump some yeast into it. I'm going to do this one really off the cuff. Normally, I'm really specific about my brewing, but all the research on sake that I've done has brought me to the conclusion that I can't do it, and so I'm just going to try something, with a shrug. So that's why I brought it over and shoved a bunch of stuff into a bucket before we started. And then I've got an Imperial Stout aging on oak, an Imperial Stout in the keg, and another Imperial Stout mixed with Braggot, which is massive.
Well, for people that have thought about wanting to get into home brewing, are these simple recipes? Is this something that's easy to do? Or how do you think, what would be a simple thing that they should start off trying with?
Well, you know, simplicity is not necessarily where it's at with homebrewing, because I always recommend that people do what they like. So my buddy Joel left me, and he left me and left me with a whole host of knowledge and no brewing equipment, and I put my setup back together the second he left. But then I also found that I had nobody to keep me in check. And so what I like, as you can guess, are Imperial Stouts.
Imperial Stouts, you only have three of them on.
Which is ridiculous. But that's not necessarily an easy style to make, because the higher in alcohol you go with it, the more difficult it gets to really control the fermentation process. So when I start people out with homebrewing, usually I'll get them hooked up with a kit of some kind, something that would work for anybody. It's almost a dummy's guide to making a beer out of the box of ingredients that I sell you. And you're gonna do the whole process. You're gonna steep some grains, add a temperature to get some sugars out of them. Then you're gonna bring that to a boil. Matt, you wanna make sure that's not leaking? I just was worried. And then it'd be the spigot on the other side. I might be fermenting stuff in Tony's basement. I'm not sure.
Nah, we're leaking.
Okay, good. And then I'm usually thorough enough that, but we are drunk on comics. We read 18 comics before we started. And so I'm just comic wasted.
Sorry. I can only see special God, man, effects.
That Fantastic Four did me over.
It was trippy, man.
The second Deadpool showed up, broke the fourth wall, and just was talking to me. It's real weird. Bunny rabbits and dinosaurs. So the process of homebrewing is actually very simple, because you dump sugar in a bucket and you shove your hands in it, and it's going to turn into beer, or it's going to turn into alcohol, at least, your homebrew hooch. Don't let your teenagers know this, but if you poured a whole bucket full of sugar water and stuck something in it any kind of yeast at all anywhere near it, it's going to ferment that stuff out. The Red Star stuff that you buy at the grocery store will ferment out beer. And it's going to taste awful.
But it'll get you drunk.
Which is...
Or make you go blind, but
right. That's... Well, a little bit of both, probably. So, the fact of the matter is, my goal as a homebrew expert is really to make sure that people are making the best beer that they can make, and they're making a beer that they want to drink. The first beer somebody made me make is a red ale. I hate Irish red ales. They're boring. They're chalky. They use an English yeast. They have all these things that I hate.
Wait. An Irish red ale uses an English yeast?
Yeah, it uses an...
Bastard!
It uses an English yeast. It uses an Irish... You can use an Irish yeast, you can use... But the fact of the matter is, red ales have a bunch of stuff I don't like in them. Basically. And that's me. It's a personal preference. It's not like they're bad beers and so nobody should like them. It's just, I don't like them. So, I... came in and I said, what should I make? And they said, this one's easy, and I made it. And you know, it's really not about making an easy beer. It's about making something you really want to drink, because if you follow a good expert's advice, you're going to make great beer. And you're going to want to keep homebrewing. And that's the important part about homebrewing. So right now, I've got all these Imperial Stouts on tap because that's what I like. But I could just as easily make a 2%, 3% pale ale. That is the most boring thing in the world, but tastes great, because you want it to be clean.
Do you feel that homebrewing is economical? Like, is it comparable to buying your beer at the store?
Oh, boy. You're funny. Basically, this is the hobbyist justification. Everybody who homebrews says, well, this is an initial purchase. About
their first like 25 pieces of equipment over $50. Like, it's a never-ending hobby. So if you got rich on the lottery, you could spend your $1 million building a real brewery and still call it a homebrew setup if you wanted to. And there are people out there that have nano breweries right in their houses. They've got a massive one-barrel brewery, which is totally unnecessary as a home brewer. You can make your beer in a 5-gallon pot on your stove in your college dorm room.
Or you could buy one of those homebrew kit things sell at Myers.
No, you can't.
I assume you don't like those?
I am really opposed to the... I'm not even going to mention the name of the companies that make these machines. They're fine for doing exactly what we discussed earlier, like teenagers making crappy hooch in their houses. But as far as homebrewing goes, man, you should go to a homebrew shop. You should go to a shop with some real people that can give you real advice. There's some good stuff online, but you need resources. You need someone who does know everything so that you don't have to know everything. So you can just say, hey, how do I do this? And they can say, here's what you do.
So listeners, if you are going to start getting into homebrewing, go find your local craft beer store or shop and find a brewmaster like we have.
Yeah. You should always have a guy for everything, and Nick is our beer guy. He's my guy for that. So
all right.
If I have questions, I go to Nick.
All right. We're going to mosey on down to the next segment. Instead of news and notes, we're just going to call it Booze and Shots just because, hey, let's rename everything on our podcast now.
Is this about guns now?
Yeah, drinking and shots of guns, yes.
Oh, we're in Texas for a moment.
All right, hey, they have guns because you're driving for miles and miles with no police in sight, okay?
Okay,
you need personal protection.
Sorry, I've been to Texas. There's no other people around either.
I do have to say, Booze and Shots is brought to you by Everyday Sauce. Everyday Sauce, I put that shit on everything.
It's
I know
good.
You guys have tried it.
Every
it
day.
Very good.
It is very good. Nick, you should make a beer out of Everyday Sauce.
Isn't I put that shit on everything somebody else's?
Yes, and they stole it before we could...
Oh, what the heck, Tony.
But Everyday, E-V-R-I-D-A-E Sauce. You can find it on Amazon. It's great.
You got to give up on the slogan, though. You're never getting it back.
No.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me start off by saying that Beer City USA is a very distinguishable title that happens to be shared by two different cities. The lesser of the two cities, and no offense to people who live there, is Asheville, North Carolina. But the greater of the two is the Grand Rapids of Michigan.
We already got Grand in our name.
See, yeah. I met those people from Asheville, and they're really nice, though.
I know they're really nice, and that's why I'm not, like, really dogging on them. I'm
like,
just
I'll
saying
share.
That, you know, I'm in Grand Rapids.
Nah, I'm a communist anyway. You guys shouldn't listen to me.
All right. But we are sharing the title of Beer City USA. And if your city is not attempting to win that title from us, then you're not having enough microbrews and good beer in your city. So
start the competition.
Yeah, start the competition. So other notes or news to pass along. Do you know that Florida has a problem with growlers?
I have recently heard that. I guess for some odd reason, their laws state that currently they can't have beer containers that are over 32 ounces.
Except.
Unless it's a gallon size, which is 128 ounces. But their 64-ounce growlers then fall in between there, and so those aren't legal.
So why don't you just get two growlers and, like,
tape
them together? And get some duct tape.
It's one of those weird laws, and
I have a problem with growlers, too. My problem is that I always seem to finish it, and then I'm always drunk.
You wish that you had a gallon.
It's horrible. I bet you wish that you had a gallon, and
you
then
you start having gallon growlers.
Well, you got to go to bed sometime.
Well, there's a survey that was put out, and this is something that I'm pretty sure every single person has done in their life, or most of them. But they found out that Bud and the Smirnoff brands are the most popular among underage drinkers.
That's because they don't know any better.
It very well is true, though. I mean, underage drinkers don't have the capacity to taste the finer spirits, taste the craft beers, but ultimately, I think it comes down to who they can quick give $20 to and say, go get me that beer.
You see, and Matt's right, it's the lack of education that's driving these businesses to the underage people, because if they really knew what they were doing, they would just put some sugar and some water together in a bucket, and then throw baker's yeast in it, and they would have their own, and it would cost like $2.
I'm starting to think that all the college campuses that are listening to us, there's going to be a massive increase of sugar and yeast buying.
Wait, no, I don't mean that. I mean it's voodoo and magic and hocus pocus, and if you don't know how to do magic and you don't have the right midichlorian count, then you cannot perform the rituals.
You're kind of like MacGyver. Show how to do everything except for leave out the one key ingredient to make that bomb. And
no, duct tape. You need duct tape.
No, the one key ingredient is definitely yeast, so I screwed the pooch on that one. I'm sorry, Tom.
That's fine.
Hops. All right.
Hops. That's the secret ingredient. Put those in it. They make it better.
Boston Beer Company, who makes Samuel Adams and everything, they are expanding their distribution into New Zealand. So another
Lord
big...
Lord of the Rings, Middle Earth is now going to get Sam Adams beer.
Yes.
And that's closer than, say, you know, Foster's to something drinkable. I mean, you're talking about a country that's about the size of the United States country or city of state of. Wow, those comics really fucked me up.
New Zealand
Rhode
is the
Island,
size of,
right? Is it?
No,
is
New
it,
Zealand's bigger than that.
Yeah, okay, I'll believe you because I don't know anything about geography. But they have been lacking American spirit. And now they've got some American spirit coming in, and
well, Sam Adams. I've always felt Sam Adams is a pretty good beer. As far as if you want to call them commercial beers, would you call them a craft beer still, or are they in the realm now of being too big?
Oh, that's a very serious question. Well, they consider themselves a craft beer company, and
well,
they are.
I think they experiment, or I shouldn't say experiment. They do experiment a lot. They actually do competitions where local home brewers can send in their beer, and they'll brew a big batch for it, and they'll add it into a sampler. My favorite, I love their winter classic sampler. There is lots of dark beers in there, and I love it. And I love all their samplers because you get a nice variety in the 12-pack. So.
And Old Fizzywig, this Christmas spiced ale.
Had one tonight.
Oh, Matt. You silly little bitch.
That was a good issue.
Old Fezziwig, yeah.
They're a very good company as far as keeping themselves in the one arm in the craft beer market. Because what happened was they got so big so fast with the one beer that they made that was a hit that they had to contract out to Bud. I think it was Bud, or it was Miller, who was brewing their beer for them at their large facility originally. They took all the profits from that and bought their own brewery, finally. And once they bought their own brewery, they put everything together and got to the point where they had finally caught up and said, guys, we can actually make other beers again. Cool, let's make other beers. Craft brewing got big in the mid-80s and just started, you know, steamrolling through the 90s. There are a lot of craft breweries that almost went out of business right around 1999. It was like the waffle zone. Everybody's waffling. We might go under, we might stay up,
I've noticed since I've come to age for legally drinking that craft brewing has taken off quite a bit, and I think the world's better for it.
Yeah, I think it's just catching up from all the homebrewers that really decided that they wanted to open a brewery. They weren't allowed to homebrew legally until the 60s, right? Carter, he did some good work, made sure people could brew again. And those guys got, you know, 40 and were able to start thinking about, well, what do I actually want to do with the rest of my life? And they started opening breweries, and now we're on the receiving end of that.
Yes, and that is excellent. One last thing that I got, Pabst Blue Ribbon, the owners of that are among four stalking horse bidders for Hostess.
And what? Yeah, PBR is going to own Hostess?
They're one of four companies that are kind of the lead that are going to buy up, you know, the cake and bread brands. So,
well, damn it, I'm okay with it.
I have a problem. Like, I would drink a Twinkie.
That would be an awesome flavored fucking drink.
I make
Hostess cupcake beer.
I make so many just off the wall homebrew kind of things where I actually put, you know, 10 pounds of bacon into a beer or whatever it is that I'm trying to figure out. And
you had me at bacon.
I could see a Twinkie beer. I could see that happen.
It would probably be good forever.
There's one last little piece of news. The Grand Rapids Winter Beer Fest is coming up here.
Is it Grand Rapids or West Michigan?
It's the Michigan Brewers Guild.
It's a whole, yeah.
The Michigan Brewers Guild hosts this event every year. And it's turned into one of the hardest to get tickets to beer events in the country, along with a couple of other really elite events like the Great American Beer Festival. And basically, there is going to be at least one brewery with 50 beers on tap at this thing. And the fact that this whole festival is just one day is slightly ludicrous. I mean, this has been a big point of contention for them. Do we go to 2 days? Do we stay at one day? And they sold out 5,000 tickets in a day.
So is it going to still be just the one day then? Or?
This year, but
hopefully it's proof that they need to go 2 days.
Dude, I think it needs to change because people from Grand Rapids can't go to it now. You know, there are a lot of people.
There's people from all states that come to this thing. It's a huge drink-a-thon.
Ticket sales went on sale in the morning online, and they just got scooped up.
So you can probably find some people scalping tickets if you're interested in going. Ooh, it's going to cost you a pretty
penny. That was a big thing, too. The police department and a bunch of people were in some serious trouble. And there was a brewery that got in a little bit of trouble for selling 50 tickets to a person who then immediately went and did the Craigslist offering on them. And so they knew exactly what numbers those tickets were and nullified them immediately. And so there's just a whole bunch of people that paid a lot of money to this dude that are still going to get to go to the festival, but only if they turned them in.
Are you going to the festival?
I'll actually be at the festival representing the Hideout.
Awesome. Do you have tickets that we could get?
No.
Can you hide us in a keg or something and wheel us in?
It's too exclusive. It's an exclusive event. I'll be having at least two of the beers that I've brewed.
Sweet.
Actually on tap at the Winter Beer Fest, which is a big event. It's a big occasion for me.
That's awesome. Congrats.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Clink.
All right. That do it for booze and shots?
Booze and shots, maybe, yeah. I have, because, you know, we are drunk on comics, we got to be a little bit nerdy here. And I think we should go and talk about what types of beers our favorite superheroes would drink. So I'll throw a superhero out here. You guys throw a beer at me, okay? Iron Man.
Nothing. He doesn't fucking drink. He's an alcoholic.
I was going to say he'd drink Arrogant Bastard, but
I could... oh, wow. You nailed that one on the head, didn't you? You already had an answer.
I did have an answer. That's why I started out to you guys first. Well,
I can tell you that Sabretooth probably drinks Stroh's, so...
So Wolverine drinks PBR?
I don't know about that, though. I mean, realistically, Wolverine probably drinks PBR, but he also might realistically drink pints and pints of liquor. Like, Wolverine might exclusively drink whiskey because
his body
metabolizes it so fast.
Iceman drinks Sammy Adams White Christmas.
Well, you know who else drinks Sam Adams? The Patriot.
Captain America's got to drink Sam Adams.
Oh, man. Really?
I think
because
so.
Because of the Boston thing?
Probably. Sam Adams was a patriot.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can
see
that.
Then again, most of our founding fathers were brewers. So.
I'll tell you this. Beast only drinks the finest of high floral bouquet imperial stouts and sour ales that are brewed in the traditional Belgian style. Probably a Flanders red ale.
He has his own drink named after him. Milwaukee's Beast. The Beast.
No. Rogue? What does Rogue drink?
Southern Comfort, but that's hardly a...
Dang it.
It's hardly a beer.
Oh, it is.
All right, what's Superman going to drink?
He's too good for beer. I don't know.
Gold, is there a golden sun ale or something like that?
There's a homebrew kit that you can make by a company called
golden ale or something.
I feel like this could be something we could talk about later.
All right, we'll bring it up again.
Starting with the one guy that doesn't drink in comics. I can't believe
he used to drink. He drinks all the time in movies. He drank again in that one thing,
Fear Itself, I think it was called, where he made a big deal of having a drink that Odin would come and talk to him.
Hold the phone. I know Tony wants to move on, but he can't. Matt, crack open the one drink that Thor would drink.
The mead?
Because it's time for that.
All right, I'm going to go open up a mead here. I got to grab it from the refrigerator. So you guys can move on, and we'll crack open this mead, and we'll talk about it. Because this mead was made to you and brought to you by the letter N. For Nick Lavelle. All right, anyways, I'll go grab that meat.
My first meat experiment.
All right, we're going to go into a segment called Mixed Drink in a Movie. And I am pairing Chase and Amy with a one-legged lesbian kickboxer. Now, besides the name of the drink in the movie having certain qualities that they share, the drink is seriously... It kicks you on your ass. Made with pearl orange, pinnacle strawberry, mixed with black raspberry, peach, and melon liqueurs, topped with some sour and cranberry. It is a drink that will knock you on your ass if you have too many. And like the movie, it hurts the feels. That Chase and Amy is just fucking wonderful. And that right there is a shared moment.
Yeah, so. But Chasing Amy is the reason I hate Ben Affleck, because he was such a dumbass in that movie.
You have not been watching the right Ben Affleck films, Matt.
Maybe not. I watched Daredevil again the other night.
Drunk on Comics. We're on the wrong podcast right now to talk about Ben Affleck, because he deserves no credit for this podcast whatsoever. He walked into a terrible role and made it worse. No, you know what? He was maybe the good part of that movie.
I don't know. I kind of like Colin Farrell in it.
Nobody likes Bullseye.
All right. I like Ben Urich in it.
He licks his forehead.
Kevin Smith was really good in that movie, too. So
Kevin Smith's a comic book person that I
Moving on. You guys got anything else to talk about?
Well, we're talking about it, but you're telling us to move it on.
Well, you know, I would like to pose a pairing, right?
Okay.
So I'm going to go with the... first Hulk film. Okay? And I'm going to pair that with Founder's Bolt Cutter.
Oh, excellent.
It is enough alcohol with a smooth enough taste to make you forget what's going on in front of you. And if you actually just stare at the screen with no volume on, that movie has some really interesting things going on.
I like when they zoom in on the moss.
Oh, well, right? I was thinking about the comic framing. They did a lot of stuff where things happening in real time would split off in 5 or 6 comic frames, and then they'd bring that back in.
Only redeemable part of that movie was the comic book framing. I liked that quite a bit.
Yeah, that part was great. And so,
If you're not listening to it, you could recognize that.
You watch the middle of the movie, you're like, oh man, that shit is crazy. And then you realize that you just drank a really expensive 16% alcohol beer and you're probably drunk.
Bolt Cutter was pretty awesome.
You could probably pair Bolt Cutter with Elektra also.
Actually, you just drink Bolt Cutter because that shit is good.
Yeah, I don't think you can. I don't think you could pair anything but straight vodka with or moonshine with Elektra. Yeah. You need something that's going to make you go blind. Sorry. Although, Jen, I mean, she's a good-looking lady. Don't get me wrong on that. It's just the worst movie ever made.
Gotcha. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to our drunken podcast and let us rambling on a little bit about our booze side of the Drunk on Comics. Tony, you got anything else to add?
No, I think, though, that I enjoyed the many comics that I have tasted tonight.
And there'll be more tasting as well. Nick, anything else to add?
I just want to say this. You guys, if you like craft beer, you need to go to your local small bottle shop, unless you live in Pennsylvania, because then you need to apparently go to a bar to buy bottles. Don't worry. It's liquor law stuff. Don't worry about it. If you're in Pennsylvania, you know what I'm talking about. Anywhere else, find your local bottle shop, go to that guy behind the counter, and say, what'd you get in this week? That's really awesome. And pick yourself up one beer and pay some money for it and get yourself one awesome beer at least every 6 months. Because if you don't spend $10 on one beer every 6 months,
you're probably drinking the same thing.
Yeah, and you're not experiencing life.
Cool. So to life, to happiness, and lots of comic books. Cheers.
Cheers.
God, I'm drunk.